Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Obi Young, president of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and director for the studios from Orlando, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, this is Obi Young with Managing Safety with you once again. And this week we've got a report from up north in Pennsylvania with Ben Coleman. Good morning, Ben.
Hey, good morning, Obi. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. What's going on in Pennsylvania?
Oh, man, I tell you what. The other than the summer heat, we did enjoy a sentimental journey return to Lock Haven. And the first day as we were setting up for the show, and if you haven't been there, I'll explain a little bit more later. But the temperatures were down around mid-60 and a little light mist, and it was so refreshing. And that was followed by the next day of mid-90s, and we sweltered. But we all had a good time at the fly-in. And have you heard about the Sentimental Journey fly-in, Obi?
Not really, other than what you said. It was held from June the 20th to the 23rd up in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania, and that's about it. When you first said Sentimental Journey, I thought of the DC-3.
Well, and also, you know, there's a B-17 running around called Sentimental Journey, but this actually started back, oh my goodness, in the early 70s, Cal Arter Jr. and Cal Arter Sr., kind of put their heads together and says, we need to do something to remember the Cubs. And Obi, do you remember the Cub Museum on Wheels that was used to traveling around?
Yeah, I think I saw that over at Lakeland one time at Sun and Fun. Now, who is Cal Arden and Senior and Junior? Who are they?
Well, Cal Arter Senior actually was a marketing guy for Piper for many years, and actually started out as a test pilot for Piper and flew the original Papoose. It was a composite aircraft made back in the 50s, and it just never did take off, literally, because it was a little heavy. But Piper was very, very involved with the forerunning of a lot of technology that people don't realize. And also up in their museum up at Lock Haven is a real interesting place to go if you're into nostalgia. And have you ever heard of a pressurized Aztec?
I think I have, but just barely.
they have the one and only pressurized Aztec there at the museum, and it's quite an interesting looking machine. But anyway, Sentimental Journey was just a real pleasure to go to this year, and it was my first year, and I am now a corporate member of the Sentimental Journey. And my number is 591, if that tells you anything about the size of the group.
Okay. Now, is this just J3 Cubs or what, the Sentimental Journey?
Not really. It's the Sentimental Journey itself is, of course, the Cubs going home where they were born. And as well, they're so kind and benevolent to take their owners with them. But the Cubs return home, and it's a week-long celebration of just Cub flying. And there's Cubs, Taylor Crafts, Aronca Champs, Cessna 190s. Let's see, there's a whole barrage of light sport aircraft there. So in answer to your question, no, it's not just Cubs that can go and enjoy the fly-in, but this is the fly-in in the true sense, almost like Sun and Fun started out, where you show up with your airplane and a tent and a blow-up mattress and just kind of enjoy hanging out for 3 or 4 or 5 days. And they have concessions there for food, facilities for showers, and it's nestled down in the Susquehanna Valley in the perfect time of the year in the summer where it's nice and cool in the evenings. And I didn't get the first mosquito bite up there, which was a pleasure if you're used to living in Central Florida. But it's just a real great time of like-minded people getting together with their aircraft and just sharing some war stories and doing a lot of hangar flying.
And this takes place every year at Lock Haven in June, is that right?
That is correct. The dates kind of move around a little bit, but typically in the middle of the month. And if you go onto the Sentimental Journey website, It's very, very well spelled out. They are run basically by volunteers, and Ovi, you're familiar all too well with volunteerism spirit.
Oh yeah.
And the spirit of the folks that do this up there, it's strictly a love of aviation, and I think that you would all enjoy looking in on it. And ironically, Ovi, the organization, they need financial support, membership, but they're not really interested in quadrupling in the size and building the fly-in. They want quality folks that enjoy going and hanging out and mingling, not quantity. They're not looking for numbers. They're looking for quality.
I know that you're very involved in safety there at Sun and Fun, and have been for years and years and years. With all this entourage of aircraft coming into Pennsylvania there, into Lock Haven, I'm sure they've got safety foremost in their mind, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And on the website, there's all the instructions for it's similar to a NOTAM, but there's not. It is a non-towered airport up there. But the beauty part of folks that fly in that caliber of aircraft, you have to call up the road and make sure wherever you're going is ready to receive you. And and when you're flying around at 50 and 60 miles an hour, it's real easy to make good informed decisions about where you need to be. And it was an accident-free year this year and the last year, and it's very rare that you have an accident affiliated with the Sentimental Journey flying in.
I guess that goes back to old-fashioned heads up, keep your head on a swivel flying.
Well, and there's very little radio contact, because most of the aircraft coming in are no door anyway. So
I was reading a little bit about the J3 and some other models there. I didn't realize that it goes from an E2 to a J2 to a J3, on up to some other models that I noticed, up to the PA-18. Is the PA-18, and what is that, like the grandson of the J2 or something?
More like the great-great-grandson on steroids.
Okay.
I was actually the J in the J3 and J2 Cub. It actually comes from Walter Gemino. He was an engineer, the chief engineer there for Piper, and quite an interesting character. When I was working for Piper, I had the pleasure of sitting in on a couple depositions where Mr. Gemino was of course a witness, and it was just very interesting to see the guy that was the J behind J3 Cub.
So you actually work with the J and the J3, huh?
You betcha. And it was a pleasure. My daughter was born, you know, Celeste. She was born in Lock
right.
Haven. So I called her my little cub.
There you go. Okay, we're going to be right back with you in just a second. This is Obi Young with Managing Safety, speaking with Ben Coleman, who's in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. I think he just got back, in fact, there from the Sentimental Journey, and we'll be right back.
Now, let's rejoin Obi Young and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
This is Obi Young back with you in Managing Safety with Ben Coleman, reporting from the Sentimental Journey in Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. Ben, give us a recap of what the show involved.
Well, basically, the show is just getting there. That's part of it. And once you arrive, you kind of set up camp, carve out your turf, pull out a chair, get some lemonade, and watch other aircraft come. And the event actually went from Wednesday on the 20th through Saturday on the 23rd. And Greg Kuntz, real popular airshow performer in the decathlon, and he does a Cub act. This was his first year there, and he was performing with the Alabama Boys at 2:00 every day. And of course, he had a different show every day, which that's saying a lot when you're flying a Cub. And he does some things with the Cub that probably defy some of the aerodynamic laws. But anyway, this was Greg's first one, and he just had a real, real good time up there, and then he went on to Latrobe for an air show. But it's just it was a very, very good event. We have movies that were shown, of course, over at the main hangar, and we had a guest speaker, Brad Smith, out of Lakeland here, a Vietnam a POW that shared some of his experience as he was locked up literally for months over in a war zone. And it was real touching to hear him talk about some of his endeavors. It was just a real good socializing and fellowship of folks that do have common interests of flying low, slow, and enjoying taking in the beautiful scenery we have.
You know, Ben, the Sentimental Journey sort of kicks off this salute, the 75th anniversary of the Cub there at Lock Haven, and then I'm sure it's Sun and Fun. They had a salute. EAA Oshkosh in a couple of weeks is going to have it, and at Arlington Air Show in Washington, everybody's saluting the Cub this year. And I was wondering, what's the big deal? And then I was reading about the Cub back in World War II with the formation of a civilian pilot training program. The Cub was the primary trainer, and it played about 75% of all the new pilots that came about, and they said 435,165 graduates flew in the Cub. So it is a very, very popular airplane. I just didn't realize it. But it's got a few years with 75 on it. But let's talk a little bit about Piper Aircraft and you. You didn't work just at Lock Haven. Where else did you work, and what did you do with Piper?
Well, actually, I started down in Vero Beach in the customer service department, and working with delivering aircraft and customer acceptance flights, of all things. As a young pup with less than 1,000 hours, I was actually flying with the people in their aircraft, giving them some tips and pointers. And went into that as I'm a mechanic first and foremost.
Right.
I did go into the product support division. And I was fortunate enough to move up to headquarters at Lock Haven at that time, and I was responsible for international product support between India and Tahiti, which encompassed four of the major distributors over in Tokyo, Singapore, and Sydney, and Christchurch, New Zealand. So I was a pretty busy young man in the early 20s. And then, of course, I left Piper as an accident investigator and went on to the NTSB and started my government career. But Piper has always had a soft spot in my heart. I grew up around them. Dad had a Cub when I was, I was 5 years old when he got back into it. Of course, he was flying from age 14 up in the Cubs, and I never took it much further because that was the Depression years and he was not military. So he just kind of stayed at home and tended the farm as his brothers went off and helped fight the wars. But the Cub has the Piper Piper gliders. People don't realize that Piper was so involved with so many aspects of the war years. And there's still probably many Piper Cubs hanging around in barns that haven't been found yet. They built almost 20,000, which that's considerable when you're talking about back in that era of just industrial capabilities in the first place, out of a textile mill. So it's quite a legacy for the little bird, and they're still popular. And they're still growing in value, which is just hardly just unbelievable of how popular these little airplanes still are.
I remember in the 40s, I was reading about in the war years, like you were speaking of, the demand was so much for production that they were building them one every 20 minutes. It's almost like when we were building ships there at Ingalls in Pascagoula once a month, but, you know, one every 20 minutes, that's phenomenal. And I guess the little airplane is still popular today as far as floats and skis and the warm weather and the cold weather. Is that correct?
That's correct. And you need to really bundle up when you're flying in the cold weather because little engine doesn't put out much heat as far as a cabin heater, but it'll make the front seat occupant's toes real toasty. That's about the extent of it. But they weren't built for comfort, and if you're a big guy, you have to fold up a little bit to get in one. But that's just more incentive to stay nimble and flexible, being able to get into your cub.
And John Brown at Jack Brown Seaplane Base in Winter Haven is, if you've never had an opportunity to fly in a Cub and you want your seaplane rating, by all means, go visit with them there. And I think they've got a Cub also at Winter Haven there at the facility there that you can enjoy there. And just look around. I'm sure most anywhere in the United States you can find one. Then what's your schedule for the rest of the year? I know you're just getting back from Lock Haven there. Are you going to make it up to Oshkosh? And then what's next for Benji on the route?
Well, I'm trying to carve out getting to Oshkosh, but it may conflict with another obligation that I have. But going to be back over in Afghanistan with the Department of Defense contractor, taking a look at some safety opportunities we have there. But just staying busy, OB, and trying to spread the good word of aviation, and it's not dead. It may be suffering just a little bit now, but I'm tired of hearing about people complaining about the economy. If folks want to get out and fly, they're going to find a reason and a way. And even if you don't fly, just go hang on the fence and show some support for your organizations. Or if you're not a part of an organization, join one. And if you got any time on your hands, go grab a broom. There's always a pile of dust that needs to be moved around.
well put, Benji. I was noting the other day that the Soaring Society of America just announced a huge influx in soaring pilots being created over the last few years. So there's always opportunity there if you look for it with sport aviation aircraft, which the Cub falls into that category. And the soaring aircraft and ballooning and all those things, there's something for everybody. With the FAST team, they've got meetings going on every month at one location or another, EAA chapters throughout the country, model aircraft, something for everyone who would like to get out there and learn and enjoy about it. And, of course, always keeping safety foremost. Ben, thank you so much for your comments today. Thanks for the report on Sentimental Journey, and we'll be looking forward. Perhaps if you make it to Oshkosh there, or if not, then another location, we'll be looking for a field report from you.
And I always have to give a plug in for the up-and-coming Air and Space Television, though, because Philip Hurst, myself, and George Greenberg are still pedaling just as fast as we can to get that up on the line and coming to a cable channel to you soon. And we're still pushing it, and that's going to really open up a lot of doors to people with aviation interests.
I was talking to Brad Fuller. There's some terrific footage that y'all been shooting there, and looking forward to some of the programming that you're be coming up. And that will be 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the Air and Space Channel. Ben, it's been nice talking with you.
Always a pleasure, Obie. And take care, folks, out in the field, and go get involved, go grab some air.
All right, this is Obie Young and Ben Coleman reporting for Managing Safety. See you next time.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.